Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Wilma Ross has been married for 30 years, has three grown children, and were all born in different countries. Laura is always engaged in some form of creative endeavor from a wide interest base, whether writing, painting, sculpture, crafting, music, or other. Her favorite pastime is to take an idea or concept and bring it to tangible physical form to share with others. That's just what she does in her delightful children's story, Amara's Wish. Amara is a beautiful young mermaid princess who once filled the seas with laughter, love, was a delight to many, clever and daring, and loved to help all those in need. She was so loved and favored, she was always given everything she asked for. As she grew older, she thought this generosity towards her was normal because she was a princess and it was her birthright. Amara gradually became more self-centered, demanding, sometimes even mean. She wants what she wants, when she wants it, and how she wants it. The fisher folk all avoid her if they can. Her sisters never include her in anything, and her father has no idea what to do about it. This is the story of one lad's bravery and truth, and the beginning of change for Amara and everyone under the sea. Laura was a preschool teacher for years, then worked in the schools as a teaching assistant, now an empowerment coach, instructional designer, and training facilitator. Everything Laura does leads to help people develop the tools they need to help themselves. She lives a very busy life in Terrace, British Columbia with her husband, son, 10 cats, and a dog. Laura's personal life mottos are, I aspire to inspire and imagine the possibilities. Laura Ross, author of Amara's Wish, joining us on This Week in America. Laura, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
What an exciting book this is, and the reviews are excellent, and this really is so well done. Let's talk about the idea for Amara's Wish. Where did this whole concept come from?
It's going to sound really strange, actually, but I had an impacted molar, and for 3 days and three nights, I got absolutely no sleep. So I was trying to find a way to distract myself from my pain, and I thought, well, let's write something. And I meant to just write a short story, but I found that I was actually writing in rhyme. And this story just kind of surfaced. It came to the surface of my mind, and I started making correlations with my daughter, actually. When she was small, she kind of had that attitude, I want what I want, what I want, I want it.
Yes.
And I have to say that her mother, you know, often felt that way as well. And thinking about, you know, what it might be like, actually, not for a mermaid, but for children to be experiencing things they don't understand, to have ideas about the world, but they don't necessarily have the ability to communicate with people. They might not have the language yet, and it can affect their behavior. I was also thinking a little bit about behaviors that rise if a child has depression or if they have anxiety and it's not recognized at a young age, what that might look like. So eventually, over that 3 days and three nights, the story of Amara's Wish came. And then, of course, there was a lot of editing and things like that afterwards. But I managed to actually really surprise myself, because truthfully, I don't know where the story came from. It came from
amazing.
The ether, and I managed to be blessed enough to be able to bring it to light. It's like you said when you were talking about me, I love to take things and create them so that I can share them with other people. And this is an example of that.
This is Exhibit A of what you do. And it's interesting. People handle pain in different ways. You write children's books when you're in pain, and you do it so well. That's amazing. Laura Ross, our guest on the program. The book is Amara's Wish. You'll find it at writersrepublic.com, for example. That's the publisher of the book. So how long did it take you to actually write the book and then to complete the book? Because once you get it finished, then there's all the, you mentioned the editing process and then finding a publisher. What was the process writing the book and then actually seeing it published?
There were, like I said, 3 days and three nights where I didn't sleep, right? So it was literally the whole thing start to finish in 3 days. The editing continued probably for about a week. In the book, the character Amara is actually portrayed by my daughter Melina. She's the one that modeled for me to be my mermaid princess. However, she was also my very, very critical editor, and she loves wordplay as much as I do. And I asked her, could you look it over and tell me what you think? And as I would bring it to her, she would look at it and go, nope, this doesn't make sense, or this doesn't flow, or change this word, or there's, too many syllables in this line. And literally, she would circle the area, hand me back my paper, and I'd walk back down the hallway, come out 10 minutes later. So the editing process didn't actually take very long because both of us were very, very active in bringing it to a clarified culmination.
You know, it's interesting. This really was a family project, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah, I was very, very blessed because when I get an idea, it kind of spins all my wheels in all different directions, and I get excited, and then anybody who happens to be in the periphery, they get excited. So I have a lot of support. And in Amara's Wish, as I said, my daughter Melina, she became Amara. In the book, King Daddy is actually my husband, so Melina's father, Amara's real life father. So that was really cool. And then I have an older daughter. Her name is Kaylee, and she is a graphic artist. And I was hoping that she would do the imagery for me. And she gave me the biggest gift because she looked at me and she said, Mom, this didn't come from me. This is yours. I didn't get my art talents from Dad. I got them from you. I'll teach you how, but I won't do it for you.
Interesting.
And she actually made me take responsibility for all aspects of this project. And it took me actually 3 years from the point that the editing was done until the graphics were done, because I had this long journey of discovery. And to release the book, to put it out to the public, I had to recognize my own value, my own worth as a writer. This is my first piece that I've ever offered anyone. Normally, when I write things, I don't let anybody read them. And something about this project changed that. And going through all of the steps, all of the processes, and everything to bring it from thought form into book form, it has been one of the greatest transformational times of my life.
Laura Ross, our guest on the program. The book is Amara's Wish. You'll find it at writersrepublic.com, for example. The usual places, link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So it's interesting, a whole new skill set when you're doing the images, when you're doing the illustrations. How was that? Because it really looks like this was done by a professional illustrator. Nice job. Your daughter really brought out the best of you in your illustrative talents.
Thank you. Actually, creating this, it was so much fun because I was originally thinking that I would, draw the characters and paint them and do traditional artwork and, submit that page by page. But I had definite ideas, but not the artistic development to be able to meet my own needs. So then I started thinking, okay, well, what if we use imagery? And I kept thinking about Mary Poppins when it first came out, how amazing it was that there was some cartoon-like images and then there was like the real life people moving around. And I went, I wonder if I could do something like that. So I made the costume that Amara is wearing, that Melina wears in it. So I made the mermaid costume. And then I thought, I can probably learn to crop out the images. So we had this absolutely amazing afternoon. I had my living room all pulled apart, and the images in the book where she's swimming, those were originally of her balancing on the top, on the back of the living room couch. And I had to learn to crop out those images. And, we would read through the book, and then we would kind of do a little interactive play to get the expressions that Amara wears in the photos. So we really, really use the text. And then both Melina and I are very theatrical. So we used our acting abilities as well to bring out kind of the characteristics that we were looking for.
Fascinating. I wish you had a video. This is sort of like Amara's wish behind the scenes to see how this actually came about. I was going to ask you about challenges, because when you go through a project like this, there are challenges, and you're just talking about some of these. Okay, how do I go about properly illustrating the book? What were some of the challenges, and how did you go about overcoming them? Now, we know with the illustrations, you just like play acted in the house, which got you through that. How did you get through some of the other challenges?
The biggest challenge that I faced was accepting myself, to recognize that, you know, even though this was something that I really enjoyed and I liked and I thought was fun and worthwhile, allowing myself to present it to anyone else. I had the illustrations completed before I even had my husband read it. I asked him to pose as King Daddy, and I had a green screen backdrop up, and he was just a champ and went through all of that stuff for me. But he didn't read any of it until I had all of the imagery, everything in place, because I had so many doubts about myself. So going through that self-discovery, that self-development, that self-acceptance, and kind of saying, okay, yeah, you know, maybe nobody else is going to be as enthused with it as you are. But you are, and that's amazing. That's great. Run with it. And giving myself permission to have the time and the space, the mental headspace as well as the physical, to go ahead and create was amazing. And then when I did start sharing it, the reception I got was so amazing. It made me cry a couple of times, because all of a sudden people were saying these things about me that they see, that I hadn't actually. And to hear people talking about strengths that you have that are just so ingrained within who you are that you don't see them as something special. I think everybody has those things. It's just who I am. It's what I do. And recognizing that, whoa, you know, you have skills, you have abilities, you've got visions, you've got thoughts that other people don't have, and they want to share that with you. That was amazing.
You know, it's amazing because this book, you learned a lot about yourself, didn't you? Here's a book that people are reading and sharing with their parents and talking and developing these themes in young people. This was a learning experience for you as well. It's amazing the self-discovery that you went through in writing Amara's Wish. Our guest is Laura Ross. When you did this, first of all, were you thinking about publishing it, or what were the plans when this idea came to you and you were working on it? Did you think you'd be a published author?
No, actually, this was, as I said at the beginning, this arose out of 3 days of increased pain because I had an impacted molar and I was looking for a project to distract myself, but it intrigued me. So then I moved on to, you know, I would really, really like to add imagery to this. But I'm also a master health and wellness coach, and I also do a lot of work with children. And at the time that I wrote the book, when I was creating the imagery, I actually wanted to create really, really large books. And I wanted to take Milena dressed up in her mermaid costume as Amara, and I wanted to actually present live readings to children. And then I wanted to kind of talk to them a little bit about, after I read the book, about, you know, Amara and why she did the things she did and the things that she'd learned, and have a real life dialogue going with the children. And then I was going to ask the children if they would like to meet Amara. And then I was going to have her come out from behind a great big undersea backdrop that I had. And she was still going to be talking in rhyme as she does in the book, until she kind of breaks that third wall and asks me, the author, if she could please just talk to the children. And at that point, we were going to have them talk and play some games. And then we were going to have an undersea kind of craft, an art project that everybody could do together, and just have it be a learning ability, a time to talk about, you know, when you're feeling bad, or, you know, if your behavior changes, why would that be? So the project now has changed scope immensely from when it first started. But originally, my plan was just to literally get one or two great big books printed for my own use so that I could work directly with children in my community.
It's amazing. You've got this whole little cottage industry going here around Amera and all these great ideas. And imagine the possibilities. One of your mottos, that certainly is something you practice in real life. Our guest is Laura Ross. The book is Amera's Wish, published by Writers Republic. Book available in their bookstore at writersrepublic.com. A few minutes left in the program. I want to talk about your original intent. When you wrote the book, what did you hope that young people, the readers, would take away? And what kind of feedback are you getting? Because you touch on some very important themes here, and you do it in a very enlightening, entertaining way.
What I found throughout the years, as a health and wellness coach, as well as just a mom, is that today, a lot of young people don't find it easy to talk about their emotions. They don't find it easy to talk about what they're thinking or feeling or what they really, really want. And I was hoping that by having a fun, colorful book that both the parents and the children could relate to, they might then be able to start a dialogue about, hey, you know, remember last week you were feeling really, really down? Like, what was going on? You know, you see what's happened here? You know, when your friend didn't want to come over and play with you, that really, really hurt your feelings. In Amera's Wish, all of the fisher folk were hiding from her in the deep grasses, and she was all alone. And that was a horrible, horrible feeling. Have you ever felt that way? What could we do about it? So just to start opening up a dialogue about how children are feeling, what they're processing, and to be able to do it in a safe way. That was my original intent. Yeah.
And mission accomplished, because it's such a creative way to bring about this discussion, a safe way to do it, doing it through through Amera and the book Amera's Wish. What are your future goals? You've really struck gold with this. What are you working on now? Any dental issues coming up so you could write another book?
I actually have already written my second book. I haven't started the imagery on it yet. I will be doing the same process with it as I did with Amera, but instead of my daughter, it's actually my grandson that is the model for my character in the book. So the second book is a very shamanic tale about a young boy who is running through the forest one day, and he is just feeling so happy and so free that he actually feels the heartbeat of the forest. And he starts noticing everything around him, and he climbs a tree because he smells smoke and he wants to find out where it's coming from. And when he sees it, he runs in that direction because he's going to try. I mean, this is just a little boy, 6 or 7 years old, but you know, he really, really wants to help. So as he's running, he starts calling to the forest folk to come and help. And that's all I'm going to say about it, excepting as it progresses through the story, he really, really learns a lot about who he is and what his purpose is, how he is able to connect with everything around him and learn to live his best life.
I think you're on the verge of doing it again, and hopefully we'll be able to get you back on the program and to talk about that. Our guest has been Laura Ross. The book is Amera's Wish. You'll find it at writersrepublic.com, the publisher, other places as well. If you go to our website, you'll get all of the information. Laura, congratulations on the success. It's amazing what you've got going, and so much talent and so much to look forward to, and we'll be there with you. It's interesting, the background on how this all came about and what you learned about yourself and in writing this book, lessons there for adults as well as for the children. Amera's Wish, Laura Ross. Laura, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun, and we will stay up to date with Laura and get her back to talk about the newest book, Amera's Wish. You'll find it at writersrepublic.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.